Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool? Or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text CARPOOL to 620-620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Live from the Yakshin Community Studios, it's 4 o'clock. We hit the reset button on the Burns and Gambo Show. Get you caught up on everything that we have been talking about today on the Burns and Gambo Show so you never miss a thing at 4 o'clock. The Phoenix Suns are reportedly enamored with Clint Capella, the Houston Rockets center, who will be playing in the Western Conference Finals starting on Monday against the Golden State Warriors. The report comes from a talk show host, I believe, in Houston. It was picked up by the USA Today. According to a league source, they write, one such team is the Phoenix Suns. They've kept tabs on him throughout the season and have reportedly become enamored with him. They have plans to offer Capella a max or near-max contract once free agency begins.
I'm enamored by this because we said this 2 months ago, me and you. 2 months ago, we said there's three restricted free agents that they've got their eyes set on.
I don't think you're using enamored right.
Yeah, what did we say?
You're annoyed that this report is
okay,
coming out.
Okay, I'm annoyed.
Because you said, yeah, you're not, which is the opposite of enamored.
I told you 2 months ago, there's three guys, Aaron Gordon, Clint Capella, and Jabari Parker are three players that they're looking at in restricted free agency 2 months ago. This report's 2 months too late.
Okay, that's fine and well. The question I want to know, can they get them? That's the question that matters.
Listen,
can they get him?
If they draft DeAndre Ayton, they're not interested in Clint Capella. If they don't draft DeAndre Ayton or one of the bigs, then they're interested in Clint Capella. You could sign him to an offer sheet in 72 hours. You wait 72 hours. If it gets matched, you don't get him. Or you can make a trade. You could say, we'll give you this player and this draft pick, and we'll do a sign and trade for Capella. So there's two ways to go about it. You could tie up your money for 72 hours and hope that they don't match it, or you could try to make a trade for him. I don't think Houston lets him go, but yes, I mean, we've told you for 2 months the Suns are very interested in Capella. Now, that interest goes away if they draft DeAndre Ayton, just so everybody knows.
Oh, sure, of course, yeah.
That interest goes away.
Cardinals have signed fullback Derek Coleman. We talked about this yesterday. They made it official today, a one-year contract. And it's not so much that the Cardinals have signed a fullback. It's kind of what the fullback represents, right? Bruce Arians never, ever believed or wanted fullbacks on his roster.
No, he would sing the Taylor Swift song, "We're never, ever, ever getting back together" with fullbacks.
Well, fullbacks apparently are back in vogue when it comes to the Cardinals because they signed one today in Derek Coleman.
Yeah, he was the best one available. Plus, you know, what I heard today is they love him on special teams. Like, they are really excited about what he brings to the special teams. And they're going to use the fullback. What percentage of time? They don't know yet. They don't know yet. So that's not – they don't have that in the plans, how much they're going to use him. A lot will depend on how comfortable David Johnson is having a fullback in the backfield with him.
Derek Hall, president and CEO of the Diamondbacks, was a guest on the morning show today, the Doug and Wolf Show, and he was asked, in light of the report and the fact that the Diamondbacks are now officially allowed to begin looking for other homes within Maricopa County, do you have a responsibility to stay in downtown Phoenix?
Yeah, it's always in the back of our minds, and nobody cares more about downtown than Ken Kendrick. I mean, he is, you know, the lead funder when it comes to the financing of Cityscape, which has been awesome here, you know, and now the next step with the grocery store coming in. There's a lot of excitement for a lot of us down here, and we've been a big part of the growth here. So obviously we do, but I think we feel more of a responsibility for our fans in general and for, you know, season ticket holders and providing the best possible fan experience. And we just have to see what that looks like. If there's something, a better opportunity out there that would bring better results to our fans and to our players, then we owe them that as well. That's a big responsibility of ours as well.
That's a bigger responsibility of ours as well.
Look, you got to play both sides of the fence right now, just in case you can't get a deal done with somebody else. You want to keep Phoenix on the hook, believing that they've got a chance, just in case something else doesn't work out. So right now, you don't alienate anybody. You don't eliminate anybody. You keep all your options open to see what the best deal is for you.
Matt Patricia held a press conference today, the new coach of the Lions, trying to clear his name after sexual assault allegations surfaced from back in 1996.
I'm here to defend my honor and clear my name. 22 years ago, I was falsely accused of something very serious allegations. There were claims made about me that never happened. While I'm thankful on one level that the process worked and the case was dismissed, at the same time, I was never given the opportunity to defend myself or to allow to push back with the truth to clear my name.
The Lions didn't ask him about it during the interview. They were allowed to by Michigan State law if they wanted to, but they didn't. I wonder if they didn't know about it. And I wonder if...
How many years ago?
It was 1996 when it happened.
22 years ago?
Yeah, 1996.
He wasn't charged with any crime,
nope,
right?
No, nope. He was indicted by a grand jury, but it never went to trial.
I do wonder why this is coming out now. It isn't. I am fascinated by that. Why is this coming out right
now?
Why
is it coming out now, and do the Lions have any regrets about not doing a little more background work?
Well, they should have done more background, and they should have asked them about it. Absolutely. I mean, that's a serious charge right there. Now, he wasn't charged with a crime, but it was a serious accusation made against them. Of course they should have talked to him about it.
Is he their Wally Backman? That was kind of the first thing I thought of when I saw that story. But our top story of the day is Diamondbacks from last night. And in particular, okay, they lost, and that's fine. It's baseball. You're going to lose some games. It's the potential red flags that might have popped up with Patrick Corbin. Velocity was down. Slider location was no good, and that's been the key to his success this year, is putting that slider right where he wants it every time. There's also the possibility that because this was the third time he faced the Dodgers, that familiarity is really starting to sink in, and they kind of knew what to look for. Same thing with Zach Godley, who didn't pitch all that great against the Dodgers. That was the fourth time he's already pitched against them, and the season is barely a month old. Should we be concerned about some of the red flags we saw at Corbin last night?
No, not yet. I mean, not everybody's going to go out there and pitch 35 games over the course of a season and pitch well. I mean, even the best get rocked. Scherzer and Kershaw and Verlander, and everybody has a bad game. I mean, when you put multiple bad games together, then that scores for alarm. When you've had one bad game, now, okay, I write that one off. I'm not ready. Patrick Corbin did not pitch well last night. Now, again, if you watch the game, you realize he didn't pitch well. You look at the box score, you're like, oh, he was fine.
Right.
Patrick Corbin was fine. I mean, his numbers were good. He had a really, really bad fourth inning and a really, really bad fifth inning. Now, he got out of trouble, and he made the right pitches to get himself out of those jams. But he was walking a tightrope in the fourth and fifth inning. Walking guys, wild pitches, base hits, running the count to 3-2 all the time. Kind of labored through both innings. He did not pitch well. I mean, that was not a good pitched game for Patrick Corbin, especially compared to what he's done previously so far this year. When we were talking about him getting out of the gates and, like a Cy Young candidate, I'm not worried about him yet. Now, two more starts like that where he's really struggling, okay, then we'll talk some more.
Troy Lovello on Fox Sports Arizona after the game.
It wasn't a typical Patrick outing. I know that the last two innings, the fourth and the fifth inning, he was having to work to get through those innings. But he did a really nice job of keeping us in the game. And true to Patrick Corbin form, he got out of the inning, kept the game at 1-1, and gave us a chance to possibly win the game. So I thought overall it was an outstanding job of him not having his best stuff and getting through the outing.
We had Zach Buchanan on the show. He's the beat writer who covers the Cardinals for the new site, The Athletic, and he does a really good job covering him. He talked about Corbin's velocity being down.
The velocity obviously stands out. I mean, his last start of April against the Nationals in D.C., he was averaging 93 miles per hour on his fastball. He's been sitting kind of 88, 89 the last two times out against the Dodgers. That's concerning. Usually a drop of about a mile or something like that, a mile an hour, not a huge concern, but that's a pretty steep drop off.
And that kind of analysis is what prompted Gambo to say you don't get that from Steve Gilbert.
You don't get that kind of analysis from Steve Gilbert, no.
Poor Steve. Poor Steve. MLB.com, Steve Gilbert, DBacks.com does a fine job covering the team. He would have given you that analysis, too. Don't be so mean to him.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you would have got that from Steve, but you got it from Zach.
Uh-huh.
It's one game. I think you're on to something, man. These teams have played each other so many times, they're familiar. I know you've seen a certain, now you've seen a pitcher four times.
I'm going to lay off that slider until you prove that you can throw this right. And if you don't have that slider, I'm not going to go anywhere near it.
Now, the good news is they're not going to play the Dodgers again until the end of August. I think August 30th. So everybody's getting tired of each other. It's time to go play some new team.
Yeah.
So they're not going to play the Dodgers again until late August. They'll get a nice break from them. They won 8 out of 12 against them. They didn't bury them, but they're 8 games up on them right now. In the last 6 games against L.A., they went 3-3. They've gone 3-3 in their last 6 games against L.A. Look, the Diamondbacks haven't lost the series yet, but they're starting to fall back to earth a little bit. Okay, they're starting to lose some baseball games, and that series loss is coming, and it's coming quicker than you would think. It's right around the corner. They're going to lose some series. They're not going to be a perfect baseball team. But for them to go anywhere deep into the playoffs, we know Corbin has to be really good.
No doubt. Join us along with Suns players and personalities at Talking Stick Resort Arena next Tuesday, to watch the NBA draft lottery unfold, make sure to head to the events page at arizonasports.com so you can RSVP. Speaking of the Suns, Ryan McDonough has been promising it's going to be a big summer for the Suns. Will they actually be able to land one of the top guys they're targeting? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool? Or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text Carpool to 62620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com.
Joe.
Hi, I'm Trav.
Ryan McDonough has been saying for a long time that it's going to be a big summer. Right? Clint Capella is one of those guys.
Not a cruel summer.
No.
Bananarama.
No.
A big summer.
No, not
a cruel summer.
Not a cruel summer.
It's a cruel
summer. I hope it's not
summer.
A cruel summer. A big summer. And a name that, admittedly, you mentioned 2 months ago, as we talked about earlier, has resurfaced yet again. A report coming out of the Houston area that the Suns are, quote unquote, enamored with Clint Capella,
sure.
A name that you mentioned a long time ago.
2 months ago, we mentioned three restricted free agents they'd be interested in. Aaron Gordon, Jabari Parker, Clint Capella. 2 months ago, we said that. So the fact that this is coming out now, it's just, it baffles me a little bit because we've literally been talking about it for a while. But, you know, other people are catching up. Capella's a name that they like. They're going to go after Capella, absolutely. But they won't go after Capella if they get DeAndre Ayton or one of the bigs. They're intrigued by Capella. They like Capella. There are two ways to get him. One, you sign him to an offer sheet and you hope the other team doesn't match it. That's not going to happen. And number two, you try to make a trade. You say, look, you know, we're gonna offer him a max. You'll match it, but if you don't want to keep him, why don't you sign him and then we'll trade him. You sign him, trade him to us. We'll give you a player and a draft pick, and that's a way to do it. I don't see Houston losing Capella. I think that they'll get rid of Ariza. Maybe they'll get rid of Gordon. They'll do what they can to keep Capella. He's a perfect fit for them. I think that's if McDonough comes up with Capella, I mean, I don't want to say you build a statue for the guy. That's a big get.
Yeah.
That is a big, big, big get if he's able to land Capella.
Because
this is a guy that they've had their eye on him for a few months now.
Back in November, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, Daryl Morey, basically said, we want to keep him. Without hesitation, Morey said he considers re-signing Capella worth the cost. Quote, we'll have him as long as he'll have us. He couldn't price himself out. Now, he's had a tremendous postseason, been blocking shots. He's obviously a very vital part of what Mike D'Antoni does in that Houston offense. The fact you've got a rim protector, you can have a Harden out there doing what he does. Shaq raving about Clint Capella.
He doesn't ask for the ball. Great role player. Still plays hard, runs the floor. And the guards do a great job of rewarding big men that protect them. You know, a lot of times, you know, the guards get beaten, but he's right there. You know, he has a great Hakeem Olajuwon in his ear teaching him stuff. You see him being like the Kimber right there, but he's very active around the board, great shot blocker, and he's doing his job. You know, they asked him, hey, block shots. When you block shots, you run, we'll get you the ball. He gets a lot of drop-offs. Very impressive. He's the right fit for that team.
I like him, too. I don't think you can get him. You know, it's kind of it's very similar to the Aaron Gordon situation. And to be honest with you, it's very similar to what the Suns went through with Eric Bledsoe a couple years ago.
Teams aren't going to let those guys go for nothing.
Don't bother making him an offer. We're going to match it. He's not going anywhere, so don't do it. Wasn't that exactly what Lon Babbie back in the day said about Eric Bledsoe?
Yeah.
Don't bother.
Don't bother. I couldn't remember who the player was, but I remember the Suns had a player and said that, you know, don't bother making him an offer. We're going to keep him. It was Bledsoe. And I think, you know, Houston could go that route. Maybe the Suns still. Because here's the thing. It ties up your money for 72 hours. It does. You cannot do anything for 72 hours if you make an offer like that to a player. So if they make an offer to any of these restricted free agents, and again, the guys that they're interested in are Jabari Parker, you know, if he is able to clear his medical, Aaron Gordon, and Capella. Capella's, okay, so if they would get Doncic, then they're going to go hard after Capella. If they can get Luka Doncic. Now you go hard after Capella because you need a center, you need a rim protector, you need something. He's great because he doesn't need the ball. So then you go hard after him. If you're going to get DeAndre Ayton or Mohamed Bamba, well, then you're not going to go after Capella. So, you know, it really depends on this draft lottery and where they end up in the draft lottery and who they think they're going to get. But if they do not get one of the bigs, then they will do what they can to try to get Capella. He's number one on their list on guys to get.
Yeah, it's just he's going to be very difficult. And if they catch wind that Houston is going to do with Capella what the Suns did with Bledsoe a few years ago, I don't know if I want them wasting a bunch of time pursuing somebody they're never going to get. The 3 days where your money is tied up, I don't know if I want them wasting a bunch of time.
I don't think you sign him to an offer sheet that just gets matched. I think what you do is you go to Houston and say, look, we want to trade for him. You know, we're willing to give you this, 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 and this, and you see if they're interested.
Yeah.
If they're not interested, you don't sign them to an offer sheet. You don't waste your time.
Speaking of Luka Doncic, triple-double yesterday for his...
I know. I saw that. I was...
playing in Liga ACB. He had a triple-double, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. It's his first career triple-double. It's the first triple-double in that league in over 11 years. Only the seventh in league history. And, oh, by the way, he did it in 22 minutes. And he didn't miss a shot.
Yeah. Kid has done things in Europe that nobody's ever done at that age. There's no question about it. He has done things that nobody has ever done at that age. He's going to be the first or second player taken in the draft. I really believe that. There is questions, you know, mentally, is he tough enough to handle it? I mean, he struggles against physical, aggressive defenses. You get to the European League is not as talented as it used to be, okay? It's not as talented. And the kid's doing amazing things there, but the league does not have as much talent as it used to have. It's a little bit watered down. Still, what he's doing hasn't been done before. There are aspects of his game that do concern some people, which is the mental side of it. The mental side, is he, you know, strong enough, tough enough, you know, mentally? So that's the thing with him. Skill-wise, the kid can guard a bunch of different positions. He can play a bunch of different positions. So he does give you a lot of options. And, of course, with Igor Kokoskov, where the press conference will be Monday, Kokoskov to the Phoenix Suns. There'll be a press conference on Monday. There's always been that tie-in that maybe Igor, who coached him for the Slovenian national team, will end up drafting.
Robert Sarver on that topic.
No, I don't think that. You know, obviously, if we do end up drafting him, it's a plus that he's coached him and, you know, has a good feel for him, and obviously will be the recipient of some of his intelligence throughout the process on him. But now we'll pick the best player. We didn't pick the coach because we may end up drafting the player. That didn't have anything to do with it.
Real quick, ESPN.com did a story about what fit might be the best for Doncic based off of the rosters as they stand right now. They said the fit with the Suns was okay, but not the best because they don't have a real established point guard, number one. And number two, they don't have a lot of floor spacers right now. They don't have a lot of great three-point shooters on the team, and that's going to help Doncic. Ultimately, they concluded Memphis would be the best fit because he'd be paired with Mike Conley, and that'd be the best thing for him.
Yeah. Look, with Phoenix, Josh Jackson doesn't shoot the ball well from three. Neither does T.J. Warren, neither does Marquese Chriss. So you don't have the shooters on the perimeter that you want to kind of space the floor because, you know, Igor Kokoskov, his offense is built on ball movement and spacing. The biggest negative would be if you had Doncic and Booker in the backcourt, you wouldn't have any defense. You would need a rim protector because the guys are going to go by them like they're not even there.
Right.
Like Horford went by Embiid the other day to score the, you know, for the Celtics. So you need a rim protector because that's not a strong defensive pairing with Doncic and Booker.
There's no doubt Steve Keim has struck gold with many of his draft picks, and a lot of people think he did just that with his past draft a couple of weeks ago. But there is an entire class of his that's on the verge of failure. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool, or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text Carpool to 620-620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com.
Let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day, and for that we turn to the Nashville Predator t-shirt wearing Aaron Malloy. You wearing your boots too with that?
Boots.
No
boots. Just Converse, not rocking the boots today. Go ahead, you can hit the little thing.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Usually you accentuate the Nashville Predator t-shirt with the cowboy boots because it's kind of a cowboy theme. Yeah.
I was thinking about it, but I was like, maybe I'm just going to go with Converse
today.
Which,
by the way, they're saying the NFL draft might be in Nashville next year.
Nashville's a great city.
I've never been there. It's total bucket list place for me to go. In fact, there's a bunch of us that are thinking of going in the fall for like a, there's like a big group of like 10 of us that might go to Nashville.
Really?
No,
so if you go in the fall, maybe you could maybe see my boy, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, your boy. You have so many boys, I lose track of them, Maloney.
Well, you can see them all in Nashville, P.K. Subban and Marcus Mariota.
You have so
Maloney's
many.
Maloney's got boys in every
seriously,
city.
Boys in every port. I lose track of them, Maloney. I really do.
Okay. Let's do the Twitter poll now.
Doesn't sound good, but.
No, it really. Twitter poll.
Yeah. Twitter poll. Yeah, let's get the Twitter poll update because Maloney's parents might be listening. Go ahead, Maloney.
I have two. We didn't get to the second one the first time, so that one is, what should be ASU's primary logo? 53% of our audience says the pitchfork, 47% say Sparky.
I like the pitchfork better than Sparky. I never liked Sparky that much.
Agree with you.
I always thought
pitchfork bad. Looks
Sparky,
meaner.
It just
looks meaner.
You know, some mean devil with a little twirly mustache. I don't know. I just never really got behind that.
I like
that.
The pitchfork better, too. Agree.
All right. Okay. What's the second one?
What concerns you the most with the D-backs right now? 39% say Paul Goldschmidt's slump. 30% the offense as a whole. 26% the fifth rotation spot and the bullpen being overworked. 5% Patrick Corbin's lower velocity.
Yeah, not Corbin.
Not worried about Corbin yet.
Pitching staff.
A few more. Yeah. Depth in the pitching staff is definitely one of them. Offensive struggles is another. Look, they tried Medlin last Friday against the Astros. Didn't work out. They've got Clay Buchholz, who they signed to a minor league deal through one game so far. They'll try to see if he's an option. He might be a decent option for them. He might be a decent option. He was a good pitcher at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, Medlin's had like two Tommy John surgery. Guy blew out his arm a bunch. Clay Buchholz could be a guy who gets an opportunity to come up here and help. And that's that. They might need to go that way because I don't know that they have the minor league depth to help them out. If guys are out, they might have to try to get some arms like Buchholz.
Yeah, I agree with that. And in combination with Maloney's poll question there, I am also concerned about anybody in the bullpen not named Yoshi Hirano, Archie Bradley, and Brad Boxberger. Because those guys, that's a little reliever roulette when they come in. You're not quite sure what you're going to get out of everybody not named those three guys that I just talked about. It's a little uncertain what you're going to get out of everybody else down there.
Kind of wish they had Delgado.
Yeah.
I liked Delgado.
Yeah. And I like McFarland,
too. McFarland's
in a different category, though, I think, because he plays that long role, and he does pretty well, but I think so. There was something that happened with the Cardinals yesterday, and it was relatively minor. But then I kind of thought about it for a second. I thought, you know, we should probably bring this up at least. They cut Harlan Miller yesterday. On the surface, not that big of a deal.
And I just bought his jersey.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Man, what am I going to do with that now?
But there are now three players from the 2016 draft class who aren't on this roster. Now, granted, they're all day three guys. But you look at the rest of that draft class, Robert Kimdichie, Brandon Williams, Evan Boehm. You combine that with the three players who aren't even on the roster anymore from the 2016 draft class. And that class...
Was it six players total?
Well, yeah, because second round was Chandler Jones.
Right, second round they used. Okay, yeah, and that's...
I know, that's the one...
That's the hard part about evaluating it is because...
No doubt.
Do you consider Chandler Jones part of that? They used the pick to get him.
Yeah.
So we,
if we're being fair, you do.
If we're being fair,
you say you have to factor that in.
Sure. I mean, if you asked me, do I consider Chandler Jones part of that group, I would say yes.
Okay.
Because they used the second round pick to get him.
But the other side to that fair coin is it fair to expect at least one player from your 2016 draft haul to make an impact on your roster?
Well, I think it's fair to expect more than one.
Okay, there you go. So in that case, Chandler Jones exception aside, we're standing on the real possibility here that all six guys from that draft class do nothing. And that's not good for any organization. That one draft class where you don't get one contributing positive guy out of the class, we're standing on that edge here. Potentially.
It really is up to Wilkes to take the two players in Kimdichie and Brandon Williams and get something out of them.
No doubt.
Like if I'm the Steve Keim and the Cardinals brass, I'm like, look, you got to develop these guys because our last coaching staff wasn't able to, so they haven't cut those guys yet. Who do you think has the potential to make more of an impact, Kimdichie or Brandon Williams?
Kimdichie.
Yeah, I agree too. I agree.
Kimdichie. Here's Steve Wilkes on Kimdichie.
Robert is a very intriguing guy. I constantly talk to Robert today about not only today, all week, about tempo. And really, I talked about tempo, Kyle, but really had to slow Robert down because we don't have on pads. And that's a great thing, Paul. That's a real good thing right there. You want to be able to slow guys down and not tell them to pick it up. Robert's going to be tremendous for us this year. He's locked in. He's focused. He came back in shape. He's ready to go. He said, Coach, I'm committed to excellence this year. And so far, man, he's been a plus on the football field. Now, I'm excited about
him. I'm not saying that makes Steve Keim a bad GM. I love Steve Keim. I think he does a great job. But that one draft class
is a bad one.
Half of it's gone. Yeah. And the other half, this is pretty much it for them to prove that they belong.
If they don't prove it this year, then you start to move on from guys. And they're starting to move on from, they moved on from Harlan Miller. Kim Dicci's going to get another chance. Brandon Williams is going to get another chance with a new coach. And so I wouldn't write those guys off yet until Wilkes has had a chance to get his paws on him and see what he could do.
Of course.
Now the problem becomes is safety. You know, the Cardinals just cut a safety, and they're kind of short on safeties.
They've got Buda Baker, Antoine Bethea, Rudy Ford are the only three safeties on the roster with any real experience with the team. The other three safeties are all rookies: AJ Howard, Jonathan Owens, Zeke Turner. So, well, six guys, three of them just got here.
I could give you news: the Cardinals are kicking the tires on a couple of veteran free agent safeties, and I'll give you the names of the players they're looking at. One is Eric Reed, the other is Trey Boston, and the other is Kenny Vaccaro. Those players are all available. They're veterans. They're free agents. And the Cardinals are interested in all of them. But the prices need to come down. Those guys all want to make some money, and that doesn't fit into the Cardinals' philosophy right now. If these guys want to come here on a one-year prove-it deal and get an opportunity to play, they could get one of those players. So, again, the Cardinals are interested, are kicking the tires on Eric Reed, Trey Boston, Kenny Vaccaro, three free agents, veterans, good players, all come with a little bit of, I don't want to call it baggage, but all of these guys have had issues with the kneeling for the anthem and something you might have to worry about as a team. But the Cardinals are interested in those players.
I think you can call it baggage. I think it's okay to call it.
Yeah, I would.
It's,
some people may not. I would.
I think there are reasons why some guys are unsigned, and I think it's that quote-unquote baggage that's part of it. I think with Eric Reed, certainly that's the case. I mean, there's... I can't think of another real logical reason why he wouldn't be signed at this point other than that baggage, the fact that he might sue the league for collusion the way Colin Kaepernick is trying to do. People are being deposed right now as we speak. Adam Schefter even spoke a little bit about how Reed's collusion case is going to follow Kaepernick's.
I'm sure that Eric Reed's case will follow along the lines of what Colin Kaepernick is doing, and what Kaepernick has done that is or isn't successful is something that Reed will try to duplicate. Look, it's a copycat league, right? We hear it all the time. Well, it's a copycat courtroom here. And we're going to see Eric Reed, I think, try to do some of the same things that Colin Kaepernick has done.
I do wonder if the Cardinals, and by you mentioning that you're being told they're kicking the tires on these guys,
yeah,
I would have to assume that there would be some willingness to take that on, right?
Yeah, if you're interested. Yeah, it's not that I'm telling they're not interested in them. They're interested in those players.
So that interest suggests to me that there is a willingness to potentially take that criticism and that controversy on when you do that.
Or at least, you know, have a discussion with them to see where they're at.
Yeah.
You know, where are you at? Like, you know, where are you at in this? What is your plans going for? We're interested in you as a player. Now let's see if we're interested in you as a person in the community. Do you fit in with what our goals are? Yeah, I mean,
because there's no doubt based on that list that I just read about the safeties who are on the roster.
Yeah,
they're going to sign a Keim Time special type player at safety.
Yeah,
they're going to sign a Keim Time special type player at tight end, maybe even at wide receiver. I mean, that's what Steve Keim does, especially this time of year. That's what he does.
Those three players are all good players. I mean, you know, they're all good football players. Not signed right now and available. And the second one of them wants to play for what's close to the veterans minimum, then the Cardinals might be able to get one of those guys.
Yeah.
But if they think they're going to get $5 million a year, they're not going to play here for Arizona.
Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast?
Do it.
Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by Presidential Pools. The Suns' timeline has been compared to the process in Philadelphia, but is there another team that maybe more accurately provides the blueprint for success for the Suns? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Look who's back in town. That's the, is it Instagram? The Instagram post of Devin Booker. He's got a photograph. Eric Bledsoe, back in town. He's not at a hair salon.
That's what I was just about to say. Where's that photo taken at?
I don't know. It's not at a hair salon. It's probably Devin Booker's living room, but he looks like
he's back.
Looks like he's got a haircut.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, good. He didn't have a good playoff series. That was a tough matchup for him, and Rozier got the better of him.
Big time. Big time.
I still love Bledsoe. I'm still a fan. I like him as a player.
So
he's a good basketball player.
So the Philadelphia 76ers called theirs the process.
Yes, the process.
We call ours the timeline.
The timeline.
And it's all about the idea of, I saw some video of TJ McConnell today. He was the starting point guard of that Philadelphia 76er team that won 10 games 2 years ago.
Yes.
Did you see he wore his wedding suit to his exit interview today? TJ McConnell.
Why?
He was treating it like a job interview. And so he wanted to dress up for it. So for his exit interview, he wore his wedding suit and put like a I'm dead serious. Put like a ton of goo in his hair and just got all nice looking because he wanted to impress during his exit interview today. So he got all dressed up.
Wow.
So I saw that on
TJ McConnell wears wedding suit to exit interview following playoff loss to Celtics.
Going all out for his interview.
They love the kid. They love him there.
Well, that's part of the reason why, man. He's
well, you know, you might as well. I mean, because usually, I mean, you know, these women spend all this money on these wedding gowns, and it goes in a box. They never wear them again, right? I mean, so
you can't really wear a wedding dress again unless you're like handing it down to your daughter. Or
like something. A suit, something you could wear a suit again.
No doubt,
you could wear that.
But you don't think necessarily that it's the Sixers, even though they've got the catchy nickname that's very similar to the Suns, that it's the Sixers that we should be using as the comp to the Phoenix Suns.
I wonder if it's the Celtics. I wonder if we're looking at this, I don't want to say all wrong, but I wonder if there was
convince me.
All right. The Celtics won this series against the 76ers, and they used five rookies. So they had five rookies this year play 30-plus games during the regular season. Five rookies played 30-plus games. Now, if I look at it just two-year players, do the Suns have 5 2-year players that are playing 30-plus games? Yeah, they've got a bunch of guys. You know, that are playing 30-plus games that are really, really super young. The Celtics went out and used their assets to trade for Kyrie Irving. The Celtics did.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns are trying to use assets to go make a trade for a big player. So if they could do, that's what they want to do. They don't want to sign J.J. Redick to a one-year deal for $20 million. They want to make a trade. They want to get a player. They want to get, okay, they wanted to, the Celtics got Horford. The Suns want Capella.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, so in some ways what the Suns are doing is kind of mirroring Boston.
It sounds funny coming out of your mouth, but yes, it's
Boston's got Jaylen Brown, young player they drafted. They got Rozier, young player they drafted. They got Tatum, young player they drafted. Marcus Smart, young player they drafted. They got a lot of players that are young that they drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And they're building around those guys, but they added a big free agent in Horford. They made a trade for Kyrie Irving, and they had another signing in Gordon Hayward. That's kind of what the Suns want to do to get to the next level, is that they want to make a trade for a player. They want to be able to sign a free agent, and they want to be able to take it to the next level. So
it's not a bad comp.
They both have the young players.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of – I mean, I think it's different for a couple reasons, all right? Number one, I think they have one of the best coaches in the NBA running the whole show.
Okay, who was a first-year coach?
Hmm?
First-year coach.
Brad Stevens?
Brad Stevens.
He's not a first-year coach now.
No. Like, first time coaching in the NBA.
Yeah, but he's been around. He's been around for a few years now. So
no,
he's,
no, no, I know. I mean,
once upon a time, he was a first-year coach. But, I mean,
he wasn't a retread coach who had coached in the NBA with a lot of experience.
But he is now considered one of the best head coaches in the NBA, if not the best head coach in the NBA. No one's saying that about Igor Kokoskov. He might be, but I understand what you're saying. Once upon a time, somebody took a chance on him and made him a first-time head coach.
Yeah. Now, you could say the same thing about Brett Brown with Philadelphia. I mean, he was, you know, he was a guy who was at Boston University. Then he was overseas. Then he was with the Spurs for a little while, director of player development. Then he got the 76ers job, and he's done a good job. So all of them kind of like first-year coaches. What I mean is they didn't go hire, you know,
an established guy who had been around the world.
Who's had two or three different jobs.
But the other thing,
the Suns want to be Boston. They want to be able to make those moves.
I don't doubt it. The problem where the comparison, I think, falls apart a little bit, especially when it comes to attracting free agents, is that Boston, let's be honest, is a desirable basketball location.
It's iconic.
Suns really aren't. At least right now, in today's current NBA, the Suns are not a desirable location. So it's easier if you're Boston to go get the Al Horfords in free agency, to get the Gordon Haywards, even though he didn't play this year, in free agency, than it is for the Suns, because it's just Boston, the Celtics can just sell not only past success and tradition and glory, but current success as well, where the Suns, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2010. It's a much tougher sell for them to sell free agents than it is for Danny and the Celtics to sell that organization.
So Ryan McDonough comes under the Danny Ainge tree. McDonough learned from Ainge. He learned how to, you know, be a GM from Danny Ainge. Ryan McDonough also reaches out to Kevin McHale as a mentor for advice and things like that. Celtic ties with Ainge. Celtic ties with McHale. The Suns were trying to get Kyrie Irving just like the Celtics were trying to get Kyrie Irving. They just didn't want to give up Josh Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to give up the pick, but they both went after Kyrie Irving. So I do think there are some similarities.
Oh, I agree. I'm not trying to diffuse it at all.
I know you're not.
I agree there are some similarities. I just think it's going to be harder for the Suns to be the Boston Celtics than it is for the Boston Celtics to be the Boston Celtics.
In order for the Suns to mirror what Boston's doing, they got to go out and make a trade for a primetime player like Kyrie Irving and then go get free agents like Horford and Gordon Hayward. Because the way they've developed the young players is similar. You know, draft picks and bringing in a lot of young players and, you know, that's kind of similar. I mean, Boston is relying right now on a lot of young basketball players.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and
Rozier and Marcus Smart.
Sure. I mean, the kids are leading them, right? The fact that they're
where they are right now.
I came across this stat today that just blew me away. The Cavs and the Celtics will meet for the second straight year in the Eastern Conference Finals. Of the 26 players from last year's series, you want to take a guess at how many are still on those rosters combined?
Out of the 26.
26 combined from a year ago. How many of those players are still on those rosters just 1 year later?
3, 4, 5.
And I didn't back check it. I'm just trusting ESPN stats and info on this one.
12.
9. 9.
Damn.
9. That's it. Think about, I mean, at the time when they met, right? I mean, it was iconic franchises meeting in the Eastern Conference Finals. They completely flushed out both of their rosters. What the Celtics did was unheard of. They got 4 guys back from last year's team. 4, and they're back in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's unheard of.
They might have the best coach in the NBA.
Yeah, and that
they might have the best coach.
Also helps with them being as good as they are with these young guys. They might have the best coach in the NBA. The Suns might have hired a really good coach. We'll find out.
Are you sure the Celtics only have 5 guys?
I got it off of ESPN stats and info. I think the Celtics only had 4 guys from last year's roster.
Really?
Only 4. I think I read that on a Yahoo Sports story today. Only 4 guys left over from last year's roster. Yeah.
I am shocked by that. I would have thought they had more.
The county has given them the go-ahead. How far along are the Diamondbacks in terms of finding their new stadium home? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.